a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning and welcome to the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos, Anton Bett is taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. A number of gardeners texting this morning, Ton. Now, the next one is asking about clematis. They have a couple of different varieties. One gets loaded with small purple flowers. The other has a big bloom. But their question is about when to prune clematis and how to do so. First of all, let's start with when. When is the best time to prune clematis?
It really depends on the type and when they flower. And so what they're going to need to actually do is just go online and type in pruning clematis to a search, and several good websites will come up, and they can look at when they flower and look at the types and things and know when to flower, because there's three or four different groups, and the pruning and maintenance varies a little bit from plant to plant. And so on one, if it's blooming later in the year, you know, you'd prune it in the spring, but for one that's blooming late spring into summer, you might actually prune it as soon as it's done. And so not knowing the type and when they bloom makes it a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm. But this person's saying, you know, some of this has become a big mangle of dead wood, and that's a problem. And I found that last spring with my autumn blooming clematis, and I just had to be carefully go in and kind of, you know, prune out the dead.
That's exactly what I was going to recommend. You know, especially if you can see buds forming on the branches, you can follow those and know where to cut and where not to cut. And the dead ones, you can thin them out. And if it's on a fence, you may need to clip every 18 inches or so to really get that out of there. But thinning that out will help open up some room and make room for more growth, so that you'll probably, you know, the next year and the year after get a lot more blossoms than what you normally would have.
It does take a lot of patience, I will say that. So what if someone just did not have that patience and, say, wanted to clip it back to like 3 feet tall?
You know, if it's one of the autumn blooming clematis, if you whack that to the ground, it's probably going to grow back. It may not bloom for, you know, a few years after, but it will eventually start reblooming.
Well, no one wants to do that. We have to have them bloom every year. Come on, Ton.
Yeah, so then the next step is to be patient.
Okay, well, that was just never one of my strong suits, but I'm working on it. Let's take a call this morning from Christine and Sandy. Good morning, Christine. How can we help you this morning?
Hi, I have an old blue spruce. It's probably 50 years old. It looks very healthy, it's producing, and the foliage is great, but I'm noticing like pine tar coming out of it and that the bark is falling off. So I was concerned that maybe I'm working on some kind of bug.
Well, you may have a Sequoia pitch moth in it, which is a insect that causes those pitch masses. And I believe that they get into the spruce trees when they've had any pruning done. They can get in otherwise, but have you done any pruning near where the pitch masses are?
Not really close to it, but we have taken out some low-hanging branches this season.
Okay. Yeah, and that might make them a bit more susceptible. They're usually not a serious pest, and we don't really have any effective insecticides that will fight against them. And so it's something that you, if you can reach them, you can carefully go out and with some gloves and things on and some clothing you can sacrifice, take the pitch masses off the tree. A lot of times you will find the larvae inside of them and that will help eliminate them. But all you can really do is just take those pitch masses off and go from there.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Could I ask one more quick question?
Go right ahead.
When is the best time to fertilize a new tree? And should we fertilize our older trees?
The new trees, you don't want to fertilize until after 1 year that they've been in the ground, but you only fertilize them in the spring. So I just recently planted some trees. And normally you would fertilize the following spring in late March to early April, but because I want those roots to really reach out in the soil and look for nutrients, I am not going to actually fertilize my brand new trees until the fall or until the spring of 2022. Just so they can get that going. And if they're growing fine, I'm not going to. You know, it's only if they look like they need it. And your older trees, if they're growing well, there's no reason to fertilize. But if you need to, late March into mid-April is the best time of year.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. The next listener wants to know, they have a black garden fabric, not plastic, and black mulch around their roses for weed control. Do they need to remove that before winter, in the spring, or just not remove it at all?
Well, I'm so torn on the fabric. That's not an intended pun. But the black garden fabric, we've really moved away over the last 10 or 15 years away from using it, as or at least recommending its use, because what will happen is the first 2 or 3 years, it will block the weeds, but then you have soil blow in, you have your organic matter breaking down.
It disintegrates.
And it disintegrates, especially on a cheap grade. And then you have weed seeds flying in. And if it's still intact, the weeds root into it and then through it a little bit. And if you need to take it up, it's very, very difficult. And so I recommend people, if they're using mulch, you know, especially bark mulches and things, to put down the 3 inches, keep it away from the edges of your plants, but then use a pre-emergent such as Preen over the top of it to help suppress weeds. And that's just, I think, a better, healthier situation. It doesn't interfere with oxygen penetration in the soil. It'll help with overwatering somewhat also, because that weed fabric adds another layer that the water can't evaporate through.
So would you suggest they take it out?
If things are fine for now, they can leave it. But if they need to renovate the beds, you know, it's just one of those things that I personally recommend people do not use in favor of just mulch and pre-emergent. Now, if they've got slopes and things, it's fine. I can't tell them to take it out because it's probably okay if things are growing well. Leave it alone, but over a period of 4 or 5 years is going to become less effective.
Right. And it's probably just as expensive to put in the mulch or 3 inches of mulch as it is to put down that fabric. And it's a lot of work, actually.
It is work to put that fabric down. And then people usually cover it up with the mulch anyway. And so just do the mulch alone and then use pre-emergent over the top.
Yeah, a little bit deeper mulch and the pre-emergent. All right. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back following a quick break.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse Show. Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis with you this morning, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Let's go to Bill in Salt Lake. Good morning, Bill. What is your question?
Good morning, Tom. We appreciate your program. My question is, when is the best time to prune back bush roses? Now, or should we wait until spring?
Roses should not be pruned now unless you're taking dead or diseased wood out of them. It's always a good time to do that, but for the most part, the best time to prune any rose is in mid-March along the Wasatch Front.
Mid-March. Okay, we'll go for that. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for your call this morning. Next listener wants to know if it's too early to wrap young trees for winter.
No, it's not. And I'm assuming they're wrapping the trunks with the... someone's got an open line somewhere, but the tree tape would be wrapped. Maria, am I still with you?
You're still with me. Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't going to loop back on my side. So, sorry. So, anyway, the best time to wrap those trunks is right about now through early November. And you can get the gauze tree tape from any garden center or farm store. And you start at the bottom and work your way up into the lower limbs, and then you can cut it and just tie it off. What that white tree tape does is protects the trunks from the winter sun that heats the bark up, and then the bark freezes at night because it has sap in it. And on the south and west side of the trees, the bark will expand as it freezes and then be destroyed, and you'll eventually just have bare wood showing on that side of the tree.
All right, let's take our next caller from West Valley, and let's go to Trent. Good morning, Trent.
Good morning. I've been trying to winterize my garden equipment, running the gas out of the lawnmowers, and the tiller just seems to not want to give up. And I've been using the ethanol-free gas. Would it be okay to just leave that in there?
I think, I'm not a mechanic, but I've had friends do that, but what you might do is put a few drops of like Stabil in it and kind of shake your mower tiller back and forth a little bit to get it mixed in, run it for 20 or 30 minutes so that Stabil has a chance to work its way through the entire fuel system and dissolve any of the deposits or anything that might be in there.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah. And the other thing you could try to do is just drain the gas tank using, gets a little more difficult, but if you can drain the gas tank and collect the gas in, a small dish or something and put it back into your gas, storage tank that you're pouring the gas in with, that would be something else you could do. If you can drain the fuel out of it and then run it for 5 or 10 minutes so that all the fuel is out of the fuel system, that would be plan B.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. I'm going to live dangerously. We have about 3 minutes before we need to take a break for the top of the hour news. Well, I'm going to go to MJ in American Fork. Good morning, MJ.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing very well. What's your question?
Great. My question is, I had just purchased a new home, and there are what I call starter trees in the rose beds. There are like a couple of Siberian elm and a couple of maple-type trees, and some of them are about 6 or 7 feet high. I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of them.
You need to clip them toward the base. And what I would do is leave 18 inches on them if they're that tall, and then clip them and just get some concentrated Roundup or concentrated lawn weed killer and paint the top of the trunk immediately after they're clipped. That poison will work its way down and help kill out the root system without harming the roses. The reason I'm having you leave 18 inches is if for some reason they don't die and try to come back, you can clip them a little lower and do it again next year.
Okay, now I did purchase Tordon RTU.
Nope, stop. Return it.
Return it? Oh,
yeah. I get so frustrated. Sorry. Tordon is not registered for homeowner use, and they should not be selling it for homeowner use. Yeah, you can buy it, but if you read the label, it says not registered for residential areas. Yeah. That Tordon will leave the roots and kill everything in proximity that's broadleaf next to it. It's a complete they've sold it, and they shouldn't have, to a homeowner. And somebody uneducated that didn't know probably sold it to you, and I think it was probably a mistake. But there is no reason our local garden centers and farm stores should be selling Tordon to homeowners.
Okay. So you said
that is one of the few things that it's been going on for 5 or 6 years, and it just makes me frustrated that it's against the law for them to sell it to you off-label use.
Okay, so what should you do? You have about 30 seconds to tell her what
she
should do.
So return it and get some glyphosate, either Kills-All or Roundup or a good lawnweed killer.
Okay, and how good is Roundup? How long is it good for? Because I think I have some.
It's as long as it hasn't frozen for 3 or 4 years.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much for your call this morning. And the number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. When we come back, we're going to talk about succulents at the top of the hour. Stay tuned for the news.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.